We're doing a new thing tonight. We're simulcasting the lessons. So we had quite a few people that were going to come. Some of them weren't able to come. So we sent them a quick email this afternoon, and we won't know who's tuned in, but we'll probably hear from them. But we've got a nice strong feed that's got a good sharp picture, so they can feel like they're here. So hello to everybody out there who's logged in, and good evening to everybody here. I've had 3 months to prepare for this weekend, and I've been holding it in and holding it in and holding it in, and I've been leaking out a little bit over the last couple months. But this weekend, you're going to get the full story. One of the reasons I've been holding it in is because I didn't feel I could share it with you until it was happening in my life. And the last 2 weeks, especially what I share with you on Sunday, is going to be live from New York. So it's going to be real. And when it becomes real and you're putting it together, it becomes very powerful. And so I'm learning this as we're speaking, what we're hearing this weekend. But we have people that are in different places, so we want to go back to the beginning. And so tonight and tomorrow, we're going to do some review of some previous teachings in a different way. And then Sunday, we're going to really get into the meat. And then I don't know what's going to happen Monday. We'll just see what happens. I've got plenty of material, so it's just like which one is going to come. But I do have an outline for the next 2 days. And I want to give you what I believe is a filter for your success. And there's two verses that I use for this. In the first verse, James tells us, "But the wisdom from above is first pure, and then peaceable, and gentle, and easy to be understood, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." And we're going to hear this message over and over and over again in many verses and in many ways. But why I call it the filter is it promotes what I've been calling the prime directive, which is when Jesus said, "Judge not by appearances, but judge righteous judgment." He said that many ways. He said, "You judge by appearance, I judge no man." Jesus introduced to us a father. He said, "My father judges no man." We don't live there. We don't live in that. I don't live in it. I see it, I feel it, I know it. And it's beginning to change. And the reason I say we don't live in it is because you're not going to ever see a sign. You have to ignore and let go of your own ego. You can't watch your own ego even, because it'll take you like a wild hound dog and drag you all over the place. You can't trust it, and you have to just let it go and let it go wild. It will calm down when truth comes in, but we can't look at the appearances first and say, "Well, I understand truth, so that means I'm going to behave better." That's what every religion does. We have to let go of our behavior. So this truth, when it comes, when the truth comes, if whatever you're hearing doesn't have a sense of peace that comes with it, don't trust it. I don't care what it is or who's saying it. And the same goes with me. I don't want you to look at me. If you're hearing something from me and it doesn't set right, there's not peace that follows it, it's not true. That's what this says. And Jesus said, "Don't judge by appearances, but judge righteous judgment." Well, we're going to find out what righteous judgment is. So we want to go back and we want to discover how we got to where we're at right in this moment. Everybody brought something in here with them. Everybody, including me. We've had a couple things that's been following us around these last couple weeks. And I can tell you, all I can tell you is, all of a sudden, a voice that came from inside me, okay, it wasn't my voice, it came from inside me. And it says, can you say to the situation in your life that's in front of you, can you say to what's presented to you, it doesn't matter which way it goes. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what happens, whether it gets worse or better. It doesn't matter. And I've got a big one to share with you in a couple days, okay? A big one. And if I didn't know this, I'd probably be in a straitjacket. I'm just telling you, okay? I said, am I going to believe what I'm hearing and what I'm sharing? That's what I said. I said, you can't get up and share if you don't believe this. I believed it, and then I had an intuition of righteousness and peace that came over me and said, all is well. This, my soul of me, believed what I was hearing. Not this. And this keeps wanting to, this, it, even since I've heard it and peace overwhelmed me, this has kept trying to drag me away. It continually is trying to pull me away from this wisdom that says produces peace. So we've got to follow that sense, that intuition of righteousness. And we're going to talk more about that. So where are we living? What are we looking for? We've evolved into exclusive external beings, wondering what's going on. We're always wondering what's going on. Why is this happening? You say that all the time. Why is this happening? We won't listen. We just want to debate. We can't listen. We've been trapped in searching for something outside ourselves. And I want to tell you, I've went over this material so much it's almost written word for word. I'm sorry if I'm going to read, but it was too good to not just read it, okay? So I've tweaked it and played with it, and then today I did it all day, just for tonight. Today I spent 5 hours on this, just looking at it. You know, I told everybody, don't come to my office, leave me alone. They came up once. And I've loved it because I keep hearing more. It keeps changing. It keeps evolving into something better. So if you see me reading a lot, that's why, okay? What's going on outside is we keep trying to bring peace into this environment that we've created, which is the world of the mind. We keep wanting to bring peace into there. We're reaching and grabbing, trying to bring peace into there. And we've become creatures controlled by our environment. Now, how did this happen? We're going to find out tomorrow morning in detail. I'm going to tell you a little bit about it tonight, but we're going to hear some wonderful truth about the development of our personality. Okay? And I'm not going to tell you what that is until you get comfortable with me a little bit, but that isn't good. Okay? This development of our personality, that's not a good thing. Okay? So in our search for peace, in our search to bring change in our circumstance, we live in a world of appearances. That's where we dwell. That's not the kingdom of God. We look at each other in criticism. We want things from each other. We're trying to change each other in this world of appearances. And we've become trapped in time. And then we're surrounded by our own judgment. So we're trapped in time, surrounded by the judgment of our appearances. That's not life. And Infinite Way teachers, Tony, everyone's told us it's an illusion. Okay, we get it. We hear that. It's an illusion. I believe you, Joel. It's an illusion. But that doesn't make sense to me. I believe it up here. But I have to know what that is down here. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to find out this weekend what it is. You're going to find out. And you're not going to remember everything, but you're going to have this sense, this intuition of righteousness that will guide you. And it's not your voice. It's not your mind. I've always found it to be something very suspicious. I hear something, I say, what's that? What was that? And I start smiling and I say, boy, whatever that was, I sure liked it. Whatever it was, I liked that. And so you start following. It's like a scent. I get a scent, I said, and it comes again. And it starts to mushroom and it keeps getting bigger. And then I start to hear more. And I'm not anybody special, okay? There's nothing special about me. I'm just a voice crying in the wilderness, just like John. Well, what was that wilderness? Jesus was driven into the wilderness and tempted of the devil, right? Who's the devil? It's right up here. It's right here. He was driven by his own mind into a wilderness. Into a wilderness where there's no peace. There's no peace there. Now, I don't want to live in the wilderness anymore. And I want to raise my hand and say, you know, I've been living in the wilderness. I don't want to say I haven't, because if I am, I want out and I want to know I'm out. I want to really know that, okay? So I'm going to keep saying I'm there till I'm sure that I'm out, okay? Because I don't want to stay there even a little bit. I don't care what anybody thinks of me. I just don't like it. And I want out. Okay, so we're going to see a straight path, this narrow path that Jesus talked about on how to find our way out. And when we've been trapped at times surrounded by our judgment, we judge our fellow man. We don't want to, but you just do. Your eyes say, she's skinny, he's fat, he looks anorexic. I mean, you do that because we've been trained to do it. It's not anybody's fault. You've been trained your whole life to do it. You inherited it, and everybody's been doing it. And it's why the Bible keeps talking about, everywhere, the generations of man. The generations of man is the beast in the Bible. It's Leviathan. It's the big beast. And that's what it's talking about in Revelation. So, we're judging our fellow man, we're judging the world, and we're judging the world by trying to bring peace into the world. That's judging the world. Because we go around wanting to correct everything all the time. We think things should improve in our environment. And so we're in fear. We're in fear because that's where we're trapped. This thing that we're surrounded by has become the accuser of the brethren. It's a universal global hypnotism, Joel calls it, mesmerism. Everybody is trapped in it. And we're going to find out we're trapped in it. Now, we're going to hear some really, really good news tonight. But we want it to go farther than here, don't we? And so, in order for it to move here, deep within our soul, which is our true self, in order for it to move there, it's going to be painful here. Up here, it's going to be painful. And we're going to talk about what that is that makes it painful, okay, and how that developed. So, to begin with, we don't understand who the Father of Jesus is. And Jesus made a statement that throws a huge monkey wrench into our plans. Because we don't like some people. There's some people we don't like. And I know I could give you a list of people, if you read their resume about me, you probably wouldn't be here over my history. You probably wouldn't be here if you read it and you thought, wow, this guy's nasty, you know? He's ornery. He's done some stuff, you know? And we've all got our history. Well, thank God there is no such thing as history, right? But we hang on because of our memories. We hang on to it. And we project it out into the future, never resting, never trusting and living in this moment. Never. And well, if some of you think you have, well, you know, you're doing better than me. So Jesus threw this monkey wrench into our plans, and he said something that has a tremendous amount of spiritual depth to it. But because we've been trapped in a world of appearances, We are trapped in a world of judgment of time. We simply do not see it in a way that has brought us into a realm of peace. So we're going to say it again. And James is telling us if we're not experiencing a state of peace in our lives, it's because we don't understand what? This pure wisdom. So you can just take a verse and turn it inside out, start at the bottom and work your way back up. If there's no peace in your life, look around the other corner. That means whatever this pure wisdom is, we don't understand it. So when I say, Father, well, what is that? Well, that's what I need to know. Forget about the peace. That ain't working. I'm in the middle. I forgot the beginning. Forget about the peace. And there certainly isn't any gentleness when there's no peace. So we're down. We say, well, I like peace, you know, and we forget about that. We don't even know what pure wisdom is. Does anybody know what pure wisdom is? Well, the first thing is it's got to be peaceable. That's what we know. So if we're not at peace, then we're misunderstanding something, aren't we? And it's big. It's pretty big. And it's got all of these tentacles, just like an octopus. And so what we need to do is go out and we need one at a time to try to identify these tentacles and cut them off. Find out where it is that's blocking me from understanding this wisdom. What is it that's blocking it? And I'm going to give you an outline that helps you with that. But what did Jesus say? It was a short statement. It wasn't the shortest verse in the Bible, but it was pretty short. He said, "My Father judges no man." We have a problem with that. It's the same thing as you judge by appearances. You should judge righteous judgment. It's the same thing. It's just a shorter version. My Father judges no man. Well, who is this Father? We don't know him like we should. Who is he? A Father that judges no man. Have I ever lived in a realm where I have no judgment of anyone? Now, the answer isn't to not have judgment. Okay, don't get me wrong. The answer is to understand righteous judgment, isn't it? Just like the verse here, you can't have peace until you understand the pure wisdom. So we've got to understand righteous judgment in order to escape the appearances. So the appearances will stay there. Don't worry about it. You can't look at the appearances and see progress because you'll be trapped again in a realm of hell and destruction, a place that can never be satisfied. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but I'll wander a little bit. Jesus said another thing that was amazing. He said, "I have the keys of hell and death." And so what are the keys? This is one of the keys. We need to understand a Father that judges no man. We need to understand righteous judgment. And we need to find out what this pure wisdom is. What is it? What is the pure wisdom? We're going to find out what that is. So, my Father judges no man. Now, there's two ways to look at this. We can have a feeling that God is not judging us. And this is true at a human level. Okay? At a human level, only at a human level. Now, that doesn't get us very far, does it? When you hear, my Father judges no man, you think, great, he's not judging my ego. Now, we don't say ego because we think we don't have an ego. The first thing ego says is, I don't have an ego. We think God's not judging my ego or this identity that I have, this individual identity that I have. We think God's not judging that, and that's not true. That's not what it's talking about. God judges no man. So, but on a higher spiritual depth to the phrase, it's really different. So we can't stay in this elementary understanding of what he said because we'll be trapped in a body. Will be trapped in the body. It will flop us around like a fish up on the deck of a boat. We'll be trapped in it because we'll be focusing on that, looking to bring change into our world. And we get stuck in a realm of forgiveness. Does the Spirit of God in you need to be forgiven? No. No, this is elementary understanding. To look for forgiveness from God. You're trapped in time when you're trying to find forgiveness. You're trapped in it. It's the little children John talked about in his epistle who said, you've been forgiven your sins, but you're still of little faith. And we followed this icon around Jesus thinking that healing's a big deal. But he said to everybody, oh, ye of little faith. The whole audience, he said, oh, ye of little faith, when will you believe? So we're trapped in a body, living in a little faith realm. The same thing with the boat. You know, and I don't, you know, I love the people of the Infinite Way, but I'm just telling you, Jesus did not care at all about the weather on the boat. He was sleeping. Hello? He was sleeping in the boat. Who was concerned about the storm? That's for sure. Hello? So sitting around and having a seance and meditating, trying to change the weather is a waste of time. Okay? Forget it. Let's move to something a little higher than that, okay? We've got to escape the appearances, everybody. That's part of the appearance. It's part of the illusion. Okay? It doesn't work, and we can't hang on to the least little bit of it. You've got to let it all go. Now, will it all go? No. But tonight, we're going to start to let it go and not look at the results, okay? Here I am getting ahead of myself again. I got a little message called the results, okay? It's going to be, you're going to hear things more than once, okay? So, living in a realm of forgiveness is living in a realm of works. We're stuck in this realm of judgment. We're stuck in a realm that's looking for change. Because as long as you're looking at it this way, you're living a life that separates you from your Father. It separates you from your Father. The Father. Your own Father. Everybody's, the Spirit of the Father lives in every person. You don't ask for it. He said, I've created you that way. He didn't call you up and say, did you want it? That's no choice. We don't choose God. Nobody has chosen God. I was brought up at UB, and you know, they, by the end of vacation Bible school, they all had the hell scared out of us. We all walked the aisle. You know? But it didn't work. It didn't work. I did it every time I got really scared. I probably did it 100 times, Rex. Rex was a UB. Because they taught you could lose whatever it was that I just found, that I didn't believe in, okay? Apparently I could lose it too, you know? So you just give up. And then the Pentecostals would come to town at the camp I grew up in. You were going to hell every time you looked at somebody the wrong way. Then my mom would come home and she'd start just telling me all the time, you know, well, you're going to go to hell if you don't clean your room, and you're going to go to hell if you smoke. And I really wasn't afraid of hell. Pretty quick, you know, because, man, if I believed in it, I'd be in a sane asylum. Because, I mean, I learned at a young age, you know, and I finally just said, I think she's nuts, you know. I loved her still, but I just said, she's got to be nuts, you know, because it would change depending on who was in town, you know. We lived in this church campground, right? I grew up in a church campground. It was a great place to grow up as a kid, but, man, I just got different religion every few weeks, you know. And she was the type that if there was a church service on, she had to be inside the door. It didn't matter who it was. Could have been Buddha. Could have been anybody. She'd have been there. So, we say, I like that God doesn't judge me because we feel guilty. We say, I feel condemned. We say, I feel judgment. But in all of this, we never come into an understanding of a righteous God. And we can never understand righteousness until we understand a righteous God. So if you feel guilty, if you feel condemned, it's just your mind smothering your spirit. It's just the ego. Guilt. God isn't producing any guilt in you. It's all just up here, right? It's all just here. There's nothing in you that needs to be forgiven. Okay? Now, when we talk about it in different... When you start to understand some of what you're teaching, the Bible will come alive to you. Scripture will come alive to you. You'll look at it completely different. You'll start to see these things. I'm going to share some verses with you tonight and tomorrow morning that just blew me away. And they weren't even in the canon. They were some of the other canonical passages that are in the Catholic Bible. And I couldn't believe how they were worded. It just floored me. So, if we don't understand a righteous God, a God that does not judge you but judges you in righteousness, a God that doesn't judge you but judges you in righteousness. Now, the word judgment changes because of the word righteousness. We got it backwards. The word judgment keeps tricking us because we think it's a bad word. Right? So it blinds us to the word righteousness. A God that doesn't judge you isn't the same judgment of that's connected to righteousness. Totally different meaning. One is talking about your sense of separation, your ego. One's talking about the real you, that person inside you that, that he talked about in Revelation 22 when he said the habitation of God is with man. The soul of you, not the mind. And they're affixed. The difference between the mind of you and the soul, it said there's a great gulf fixed. There's no connection whatsoever. And that's the story of Abraham and Lazarus. That's what that story is about. It's talking about the separation of the of a mind man trapped in time, right? Versus the righteousness of your Father that dwells in you. So you can't go around saying nothing's wrong with you, but you can't go around saying something's right with you either. We've got to get out of the room. We've got to get completely out of this room. We're in the wrong room. We're not in the right room. So you're never going to have the right conclusion, ever. And that's being trapped in this world. So, he says, I have the keys of hell and death. How do we get stuck in a realm of forgiveness? Well, we've been taught it. Been taught it by our parents. And with it comes the guilt and all the other words that have nothing to do with a fatherhood level that John talks about. Little children think of God as omnipotent. I'm here to tell you, God's not omnipotent. God's not omnipotent. It's a wrong word. God is not a power over anything. It's a wrong word. He's not a power over anything. And I think of the chant of the Episcopal priests, and I think there's a lot of people sort of embedded out there in some of the churches that understand some of these things. But I heard these women at the beginning of her teaching, there's nothing but God. There's only God. There's nothing but God. There's only God. In that is the only place you're going to find reality. Everything else is a trap. We're hoodwinked into thinking that we are body, trapped in an environment that tricks us. And we're taught this. And we taught our kids it, see? So we're hooked in it too. So 1 John, he says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you. There you go. See, little children need their sins forgiven. Little children feel guilty. Little children feel judgment. We have to rise above this. This is all coming from a simplified understanding of who we are. Now, then you've got the young men, okay? Well, the young men, you know, they want to debate and they want to argue and they, you know, they want to discuss everything and see if they can figure it out up here in our minds, okay? And we're going to find out that that's not the way to learn, okay? That's why we sing the song, Be Still and Know. There's all kinds of stuff going on out there, guys. There's too much going on. And we need to learn to be quiet and listen for this intuition that comes to you. Listen for it. So the deeper meaning is we have to understand that God does not see this personality that we have given a name to. It can be painful when we are living in a realm outside of faith. So what's your name? And where did you get this name? Where did it come from? We're going to begin to find out right now, okay, where this name came from. Now, I want to just digress a little bit. I got an email from Bob Hughes, and he told everybody to say hi. Some of you know him. He was here a few seminars ago, older gentleman. And he said he wanted to be here. He might be there. Bob, if you're there, hello. He just wrote me, and he said, I really like the July tapes. I love your definition of righteousness. And he said, eternal love. I have been hearing and seeing some things about time and discovered that Jehovah is not the true God that Jesus talked about in John 17:3. Jehovah is the God of time. In Mark 1, verse 15, Jesus said, time is fulfilled. I agree with you, Mike, that we should leave the world of passing time and space and not put our trust in passing time. And we're going to spend a lot of time on that on Sunday. He says, this is what I highlighted, nothing is happening in eternity. So nothing's happening. That's pretty good, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Nothing is happening in eternity, he said. All is well. All is perfect. All is at rest. He said, I'd love to be with you in person, but certainly I'm with you in spirit. Love to you all, Bob and Martha. Now, when he said he loved the definition of righteousness, and he called it eternal love, what is eternal love? It's something that's changeless, isn't it? That's the realm where nothing's happening. God is judging the world in righteousness and the people with equity. It's all over. There's 10 verses I talked about on righteous judgment. It's all over the Old Testament, the New Testament. It's underneath, it's on top, it's on the side. You find it everywhere. Once you get the suspicion. Now, when we first started to hear this, it's taken 2 years for me to understand it in a I don't want to say I've got there all the way because I want to leave a little window in case I need to learn some more, right? But I understand it a lot more than I did 2 years ago, 3 years ago, actually 4 years ago. I heard it, and we sat in a Bible study and started reading some of these verses, and I'm going, wow, I feel lifted up. That God looks at this world, and all he sees is himself. That's all he sees. He sees nothing else. So what's our problem? Yeah, what's our problem? God sees nothing but himself because that's the only thing that is real. It's the only thing that doesn't change. So Bob's right on, isn't he? Huh? In eternity, nothing's happening. Now, eternity has to be here now. Has to be. Where it's not eternal. It doesn't have a hole in the middle of it where we live. Right? We live in a hole. But it ain't real. Well, what's this hole we live in? It's called a bottomless pit. And what's unique about a bottomless pit is it can never be filled. It can never be satisfied. Right? It says hell and destruction are never full, and so the eyes of man are never satisfied. They're synonymous terms. Hell and destruction are never full. What's hell and destruction? All these things we're trying to drag into our world to try to patch up some problem. It's hell and destruction. It's awful. It's not fun. And I know, I've been there. It still grabs me. It doesn't grab me as long now, though. It doesn't grab me quite as long, which that's good. You know, because at least I know better, right? So that was great. So we've been talking about James 3 and John 4. In my mind, are a roadmap that we filter everything through. Okay. So tonight we want to begin by talking about how we can begin to relax into a spirit realm where the soul of you lives and begins to know this God who judges you in righteousness. So I'd like us to meditate. I don't like telling people what to do. Okay, so I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm just going to make suggestions, okay? It'd be great if you just forgot that I am in this room for you, with you, okay? I don't want you to listen to me. I don't want you to listen to me. Okay, I need to be transparent to you. You're not here because of me. You're here because your soul has drawn you here. That's what we want to listen to this weekend. Whether you're listening by audio or video or internet or at home, if you'd like to follow along, I'd like to suggest that you close your eyes. It'd be okay just to listen to your soul within. You don't have to. I just like to suggest that because I don't want you watching me. I want you listening to your soul. Right now, release this sense of human self. Let go of your human identity that you have a name for. Just let go of it. Just watch it float away. Just picture it floating away. Picture it like there's a big pearl that's just landed on this beautiful lake and it's just slowly floating through this crystal clear water to the bottom and you're watching it. This is your life. This is your body. This is what you call yourself by your name. It's just floating away. It's just drifting away. I want you to let go of your personal plans that you brought in here with you. Whatever it is you've got going on outside of this weekend, can we just, for this weekend, trust that we can let all these things go? Your personal ideas that you came here to give or to get. If we can learn at this moment to release the human concept of self, you will find a depth of your own being that will be very important for you to understand over the next few days. So where do we go? We're going to go to a place where there is no need to plan. You don't have any plans to make. There is no need for you to seek anything. There is no need for you to ask for anything. In this place, Jesus said, there's no need for you to even take thought. It's not surrender to a person or a situation. It is the surrender of your mind to your soul. And you're not there until you realize that this place is the only place where reality dwells. It's another dwelling place that is prepared for you that is different than your thinking mind. You have no wife here. You have no husband here. You have no friends here. You have nothing to fix or change in this place. And it's good to know that this place is where the Spirit of God dwells. You're going to begin to learn to listen to your soul this weekend, not your mind. So we need to break out of the mental margins to a place that is unknown to you, a place outside time and space where you let go of every human concept of life. The very secret of life is to move out into the unknown. Never stay in the known. We get comfortable in the known, in the world of appearances. Because if we stop in the known, we will lose reality. Eternal life is an adventure into the unknown where there is no end. Understanding the righteous judgment of God is an unknown place that brings with it a truth so pure, peace begins to surround you. Within Light of the World Ministries, we've been asked to accept ideas that sometimes seem strange to us. But right now, let's just take a couple minutes and let's just meditate for a little while. It's hard to hear through the cares of this world. That's why Jesus said we have ears to hear but can't hear. Because the cares of this world choke out the truth. So we need to let them all go. Okay, I was talking to Anne online just the other day, and she was writing me about the message last month, and she quoted Joel. And she said, "Mike, what you said seemed very strange to me." Then she said, "Joel said, truth does not seem reasonable to the human mind. And so when we hear something that seems strange, many times we want to question it or to discuss it and try to make it become reasonable to our human understanding. Well, you need to know right now that you'll remain stuck within this world if you stay in this mode. You'll just make small, tiny amounts of progress." This is why we like to use the tool of meditation, so we can be still. And so we look at these ideas, and you've found some of them hard to accept, but they never become part of our living consciousness. It's just mental understanding. So there's not a change. A change doesn't come. One example could be that you've heard or agreed that this world is not the kingdom of God. And you can go on believing that, even though it's not the kingdom of God, you believe, like the Hebrews, that God is going to bring his kingdom into this world. Because we're looking for improvement. We're trying to improve our world. Our world, not the kingdom of God. This is exactly what you do when you believe that there is reward for your meditation on truth. Jesus said, it's an adulterous generation that looks for a sign. I'd like to advance away from Abraham. You know, and I don't want to talk about years, but we've got to advance beyond Abraham, because God said, I'm your reward, and he said, what do you give me? So if we're expecting anything, any change, in any circumstance, in any degree, you're going to lose your reward and be separate from your father, because you're going to look for the reward. You're going to wait for the dog bone. My dogs love dog bones. Yeah. Now, we're not going to go lock ourselves up in a room and become a hermit, okay? But we're going to begin to dwell within the kingdom and not judge by appearances. We're just going to begin to. We have to make that first step in the kingdom, and I'm going to show you how to do it, and I'm here to tell you it's happening with me. I mean, I got a big, huge thing with a lot of zeros attached to it, okay, going on right now. A big thing. And it's got a lot of zeros, okay? Lots of zeros. Zero, 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 zero. Well, God said, well, just chop off the zeros. And it won't affect you so much. Just chop the zeros off. It's all relative. It's all relative. It don't matter whether it's $100 or $10 million. It's all relative. Okay? He said, just chop the zeros off. Then you can go to sleep. Now, that's not the ultimate answer, but it sure helped, right? When I heard that, it helped a lot. I said, okay, well, I guess that's not as big a deal as I thought. And it ended up not being a big deal. But I rode it, you know, like a big quarter horse that bucked. You know, I just rode it and I wouldn't let go of it. I tried, but I just couldn't let go of it. So when I chopped the zeros off, at least I got off the horse, you know. Oh, anyway. So if you've been believing there's reward, like Abraham, right? If it's time to look at it and face it, that this changing world that we view with our human mind is not the kingdom of God and never will be. God's not going to establish the kingdom on this earth, and we're not doing anything to establish a kingdom on this earth. The kingdom of God is within you. It's within you. It's not out here. And the only way you're going to escape is to bring the peace that comes from this pure wisdom into the situation. Into the situation. Not to change it. And not to change it. To bring the peace in with it that doesn't look at either end of the problem. Okay? You can't look at either end. You can't. And I've got to come out. I've been wanting to come out on this for years, you know, but this is where our wonderful Infinite Way brothers have strayed away. You can't meditate and change anything in this world. It's all a farce. And here's why. Here's why. I know you already know this. What happens when it doesn't work? You're right back into works, aren't you? You're right back into elementary teaching again, aren't you? Because when it doesn't work, you say, well, crap. I got to meditate more. I got to do something, you know? And we start spinning around, don't we? That's why it can't work. It can't. Now, I went out to Los Angeles with a pretty high-end infinite way person, and we meditated our brains out there. And I mean, we did. We really meditated our brains out. It was sort of fun. We weren't thinking about anything after about a week. You know, I forgot, almost forgot who my wife was. But then what happened when I walked back in my office, there was 10 things barking at me. Just barking away. Wah, 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 you know, do this, do that. What's wrong with this? What's wrong with that? And boom, I was right back where I was before I went. Right back in the same place. I said, well, that didn't work. That didn't work. I sure felt good when I was out there, you know, but I feel good when I get a massage. Too, you know, so I could have saved a lot of time, couldn't I? I just could have got a couple massages and saved myself a week of time and $3,000. Phew. So, judgment of this world, the judgment of this world outside in which we think we live is not reality. And while you wrestle with these ideas that you would like to accept, but can't quite accept them, it becomes necessary to find out why we can't accept them. Why don't we see this pure wisdom? What is it that's blocking it? Why will you not accept them? Why don't we live in the kingdom right now? Why aren't we living in the kingdom? We've got the answer. We don't understand this pure wisdom. If you ain't got peace, we got to go back to the beginning and say, well, I got to figure out what this pure wisdom is. I got to figure out what it is. And I'm telling you, we're so warm, we're super hot. When we look at the prime directive where Jesus said, judge not by appearances, but judge righteous judgment. And we've got to redefine what righteous judgment is, because it's eternal love. God's not withdrawing. God's not sitting up there, well, I'll judge all them Ponyaks in righteousness, I suppose. You know, I guess I'll do it. Just because I'm nice. You know, I'll give them mercy. I'll have mercy on them. I'll have grace on them. Son of a buck, you know, those guys. I'll go ahead and do it. You know, so when you feel that way, you feel like you got to earn it. But what if you realized your righteousness has been there waiting for you in eternity? It's just waiting for you to discover it. Through the mist, through the fog of all these activities in the world that block it. Okay, and there's a lot of them. Now, we're not going to leave the seminar and there's not going to be activities in the world. Okay, there will be tribulation in the world, folks, right? We've got to rise above it now. We're going to rise above it. So that when we see it, we'll say, I know you. I know who you are. You're not going to trick me as bad as you did last time. I'm only going to follow you once around the barn. Just one time, okay? So let's get it over with. Okay, let's go hook the leash up and follow him around the barn, okay? And let's get it over with. And I'm telling you, this works, guys. It's working for me. It's working for me. And we could all sit and compare stories, you know, and then we'd be bragging about who's suffering the most, you know. But okay? We would. The ego would say, well, geez, I've done it. Huh? I know it. Yeah. Spiritual law will not function in us, and it is because we have ignored the ultimate truth. That you cannot be both mortal and immortal at the same time. You can't be. You cannot be both human and divine. You have no identity separate from the Father. This thing you call Mike, this thing you call George, whatever your name is, it's not separate from the Father. If you think it's separate from the Father and it needs to do something, and it can call out for God or access Jesus or whatever it is it does, you're in the wrong room. It's all here. It's down here. It's in this. Look this way. It's right behind my button here. See, I got a bump right here. See that? That's where it's at. Okay? It's right. We'll say it's right there, okay? It's not out here, and because it's not out here, it's not in the changing circumstances, right? It's not in the changing circumstances, because out there you've got this. You've got all this going, right? That's not where it's at, okay? You cannot live in a physical world and a spiritual universe at the same time. There's no life there, okay? You've tried, but your idea of success has been that the kingdom living means that tribulation will be removed from your world, and this is the main reason we have not succeeded. And what do? We go around in denial then. We can't even be open because, hey, I know this truth. I've meditated. I've studied. I've got revelation. You know, and so if you, you know, we've been taught through some of the circles that I love that the more you meditate and understand truth, the less tribulation there'll be in this world, and that is a lie. It's not true. It is just not true. I don't feel peace when I hear that, guys. Right? I don't feel peace. That doesn't create peace inside me. It makes me afraid. And it makes me go back and try to examine my ego again and try to make adjustments somehow. Okay? It's just not true. So those of us who are open and willing, it's the purpose of these meetings to fully understand what it means to live consciously in the kingdom of God right now, despite what we see going on in the world, both good and evil. And so starting tonight, the first step is we are going to surrender all of our ambitions just for this weekend, okay? So don't tar and feather me. I'm just asking you to do it for this weekend, okay? They'll be waiting for you, okay, Tuesday. So can we just surrender them for the weekend, okay? Because I don't want to get in trouble. Just do that, just for the weekend. Whatever your ambitions are, okay, just let go of them. Whatever your desires are, whatever your plans are, whatever it is we have for our life right now, we have to let them go so we can hear. All right? Because we want to hear, don't we? We want to hear. We want to hear this pure wisdom. We have to hear it. If there's something you need to do next week, let it go. Right now. Just let it go. If you're waiting for an answer to a dilemma or a problem, let it go. Right now, let it go. If you're looking for better news in a troubling situation, let it go. Let what go? The news that you're waiting for. Let the news go. Let the answer go. Let the answer to your problem go. And say, like Kathy said in her book. Has everybody read Kathy Fitz's book? Diane? She said after all of this talk about what she went through when she was delivered from cancer, she said, one day I finally realized it did not matter whether I lived or died. Bingo. Bingo. It didn't matter. It didn't matter. The answer to your problem doesn't matter. If it matters, it's going to drag you back in to this realm of tribulation. We don't have to live there, guys. Let the answer go. And we're going to find out why we need to let it go. We're going to spend some time on that. So starting tonight, we're just going to picture these things floating away, just like a balloon. Just like Diane did not read my notes, but she just said the same thing before I started. Just let the cares just float away. Just ride it on a balloon and just watch it float away just for the weekend, okay, just for now. Because there's only now. So can we just do it right now? Can we just now watch them float away? And we're going to find out how to not go chasing after them by Monday. We won't go out and look for them to come back, okay? The answers to our problems. We won't look for them. This is why Jesus said, take no thought for your life, let alone all the other little petty things we're worried about. He said, take no thought for your life. Why? Because we don't have a life. We don't have a life. There's no life there. So he said, take no thought for it. There's nothing there. It all changes every day. Something happens, right? Stuff happens. Stuff happens. So what happened in the beginning? We're going to go back into the garden, talk a little bit about what happened there. It said, time began when we ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Time began. This is what is described in Scripture as the beginnings of the foundation of the world. Our world, the beginning of the foundation of the world, which Jesus said, before the world was formed, I am. Before the world was formed. Well, what's this world that was formed? Our concept of life that we're dragging, we're trying to drag God into our problems, and he's just a vending machine. Now, I've done it. You know, I'm not talking to you. Okay? It's your voice talking to you. So I'm there with you. Okay? So believe me, I got this thing with all these zeros. Well, it doesn't have any zeros anymore. But I got this thing that's got less zeros in it now, right? It's still there. It'll be waiting for me Tuesday. So when this happened to Adam and Eve, we all were born into this representative consciousness. And the scripture says it. Adam and Eve do not represent individual people. Okay? They don't represent individual people. And scripture clearly teaches this when it says, in Adam, all die. In Adam, all die. It's talking about the consciousness of Adam that ate from the tree of good and evil. It's also called the tree of the judgment of appearances, by the way. It's the same tree. The tree of good and evil is the tree of our judgment by appearances. It's the same thing. It's also called the tree of knowledge. And what does this knowledge do for us? We try to figure things out. We try to figure stuff out. To what? Our dilemma. Especially if you're task-oriented like I am. I always want to fix things. You know, if she's fussing or whatever and don't feel good, I want to fix her. I just want to make it better, you know. Sometimes I make it worse, but I try to make it better sometimes, you know. And sometimes I'm the problem. And I make that worse. So, we let it go, right? So, it thrusts us, when we eat from this tree of knowledge, it thrusts us into a realm of time. And so when all of this took place, it was the beginning of the birth of the ego. That's when the ego began. The ego began to be made manifest in the minds of man, and time began to tick away. Why is time ticking away? Because we're judging by appearances. And we're waiting for a solution to our judgment. And it forces us into a time realm. Because the answer to our dilemma is where? Where is it? Tomorrow. There's no tomorrow. There's no tomorrow. Tick, tock. Tick, tock. Reminds me of that little song. You know, I'm not going to sing it. Time began to pass away. Pass away. And as long as we believe that time is passing, we will pass right along with it. We'll pass right along with it. And in this Adam, the Adam man died. He died. He lost all sense of spiritual life. Because of why? Because all he could think about is the answer to the particular problem that was in front of him. Now, we folks, we've got a long ways to go. We got a long ways to go if we're going clear back to the garden, don't we? And so the stories from Genesis to Revelation is about man escaping hell and destruction. That's why you see all this stuff going on, and that doesn't line up. Well, it lines up with whoever wrote it. It lines up with them. We can't look in Scripture and say, well, there's all this contradiction. We just don't understand it. We weren't there when they wrote it. Okay? You've got to hang on to the premise of this principle that's pure. And you've got to filter whatever you're reading through that principle. Okay? And realize, these people were just like us. I could write a book called the Book of Nevins, or I could use my middle name and call it the Book of Olin. You know, we read books by Charles Swindoll. I mean, I'm not saying this group does, but we have. We read all these books, okay? You know, but man, if you try to screw something out of the Bible, it's heretical, you know? Well, there was a lot of people that lived in Jesus' time. There's the Gospel of Thomas. There's 100 other books that at the time the Bible was put together, they didn't think they were heretical. They just didn't pick them. So I'm going to read you some scripture from some other books. Is that okay? Okay, good. Great. So, when we believe that time is passing, we pass right along with it. And in this, the Adam man died. This is what God was talking about. What did the Father say? If you eat from this tree, you will surely die. Had nothing to do with the physical death because nobody dies. So what did they? Where did they die? They died spiritually and entered into a bottomless pit called a realm of hell and destruction where you will never be satisfied with what? The answers to your problem. You're never going to be satisfied with them because when you get an answer to one of them, here comes another one 2 days later. What if it's a week later? Do you call that heaven in between those two? Is that what you call heaven? Can't be, can it? It can't. That's just a week of heaven. It's just 1 week. I feel like with C.S. Lewis, Stab of Joy. I got a 1 week stab, you know, and then it's gone. Remember that? He talked about that all the time. He says, I got a stab of joy. But it didn't last very long, did it? Because all of a sudden here comes something else. Oh, crap, you know. Makes me want to swear, you know. Because that's what it is. It's all a bunch of baloney. It's foolishness, okay? It's foolishness. So, if you eat from this tree, you will surely die. And he did. And we die every time we hang on to this answer to our problem. You die. What does it do to you? You toss in the bed and you turn and you reach for the Advil or you have a drink of whiskey or whatever it is you do and you try to mellow it out a little bit. And what do? You know, There's no living in that, is there? There's no life in that. So we don't understand death even, do we? We don't even know what that means. I just gave you a clue, isn't it? Death's hanging on to your answer, isn't it? Let go of the answer. Let's say with Kathy, tonight, let's just let it go for 4 days, okay? Can we just do that for 4 days? Whatever it is you want, just let it go and realize if you hang on to it, you're not going to have fun, okay? And it's going to be hard to listen, isn't it? It's going to be hard to listen. That's why we want to let it go. Okay, let's just let it go. Whatever it is you don't like, or if it's a person, anything you can think of. We've all got them. Okay, I've got them. Let's just let it go. So we don't understand death. I don't think we ever understood the steps we've taken to begin this dance around the Mapo tree. Remember the Mapo tree? We're dancing around the Mapo tree. We call it the tether ball, okay? How about the old volleyball on the end of a tether on a pole? You know, you're just going in circles, right? What were the Israelites doing out in the wilderness, guys? What were they doing? For 40 years they went in circles, didn't they? That's the wilderness. Getting nowhere fast. That's really painful when you get nowhere fast, right? I mean, I floor the gas sometimes to get nowhere. Sometimes I get a ticket, you know, but trying to get the head of the line, I get up there and there's 100 more cars ahead of me, you know. That's what it's like if you're hanging on to these answers you want for your dilemmas. Now, if we can just learn this weekend how to release those things and rest, you're going to have a major change in your life. If we can just learn how to do that, you're going to have some victory in your life. If we can just learn that. So, we begin our dance around the answers to our dilemmas. We don't understand what death is because we've seen Scripture. I see the Scripture right now. Jesus said, "Let the dead go bury the dead." This is what he was talking about right here. "Let the dead go bury the dead," he said. Walking in a realm that can never be satisfied isn't living. It's death. And that's what happened when we eat from this tree. So, if you're living in this realm that's passing away, you'll never be satisfied. It's going to be hard what I say, but I want to help you. I don't want to be popular. I don't want you to look at me. I want to help you escape from this realm called hell and destruction. So we have to first learn what it means to lay down our life. Now we're going to find out it's not real. We've been talking about it already that it's not real. But we don't want to go back out Tuesday and pick it up again, right? We don't want to. When you enter the kingdom, everything that relates to the time man and the birth of the ego has to be left at the door. Now, it's written, the time man and the birth of the ego is written on the inside of the door of the gateway to hell. And you read it, you're reading it right at the threshold of the gateway to the kingdom of God. You're still reading it. It's on the backside of that door of the gateway to heaven. See, it's on the other side. So now when we step into the kingdom of God, when we first step in there, okay, it's a place where it says righteousness dwells. Seek ye the kingdom of God where righteousness dwells. Well, we better understand what the word righteousness means, right? Because we don't. And I've given you some hints. It's attached to the pure wisdom that brings peace, right? But we're going to go out and cut these tentacles off, okay? So I want to close tonight and with something I love to do. I just love this. I have an unbelievable Bible software program. It just thrills me to get in there. Every time I turn it on, I get excited. Because I found these three verses, and I'm just giving you the tip of the iceberg tonight. I'm going to give you some tomorrow that are just going to blow you away when we read them. One is in Barak. Unbelievable what it said. I just couldn't believe it. But what I did is I tied Matthew 11:28 with Psalms 23 and Revelation 7:17. And I merged them together and I modernized them to our message. And if you read it and you go study the verses, you'll see I haven't changed the meaning at all, okay? Because I've got 50 versions. And so each one of these is a different version. One's King James, one's Good News for Modern Man, and one's Revised Standard Version. Because I like the way they put it, because it matched up. So I want you to listen to this, and then we'll be still for a little bit for tonight. So, come unto me, all ye that labor in the world. Come unto me. What's the labor in the world? Come unto me. The labor in the world is seeking the answers to our dilemmas, to our problems. That's the labor. The labor in the world. Come unto me, all ye that labor in the world and are heavy laden, and I will give you understanding that produces rest. I will give you understanding that produces rest. You shall not want as you lie down in green pastures. Now, not want anything. Not just a little want. And we're talking about the want here. The want is the answers to our problems. That's the want. Okay? You shall not want as you lie down in green pastures and dwell beside the still waters. What are the still waters? It's the same thing as the pure wisdom that produces peace. It's the same thing. Still waters produce peace. So it must be we're understanding something different. We're understanding something different. Whatever that was that told me to chop all the zeros off, I want to know what that is. I'm not just going to make a machine that chops zeros off of things, you know, but I want to know what it was. What was it? I got to know that, okay? Your soul will be restored as you learn of the path of righteousness. That's Psalms 23. The path of righteousness, hello. Hey, I'm getting suspicious again. You see what I mean? I'm suspicious. It's attached to every other verse, isn't it? A path of righteousness is a dwelling place where we're not looking for answers to our problems that we have. Let go of the answer. Just see how it feels. Just try it for a couple days, okay? See how it feels. If you're having trouble, come and see me. If you're having difficulty with that, come and see me. I'll help you. Okay? I will. Your soul will be restored as you learn of the path of righteousness. The lamb which is in the midst of thee shall feed you. In the midst of thee. This thing. The lamb will feed you. It's not out there. It's not in the answer to your problem. It's not out there. The lamb will feed you. This place of peace and righteousness will feed you. So we've got to begin to learn who we really are. Who are we? Are we people that run to and fro across the earth? Right? Oh my gosh. We thought that was the devil. And Job, oh, God said to the devil, what you doing? I'm running to and fro across the earth. I'm running to and fro across the earth. It's the mind of man. that's running to and fro across the earth, trying to find answers to his dilemma. That's going to and fro across the earth. That's what it means. Job, at the beginning of Job, it was the mind of man wrestling with the spirit of Job. They were fighting, and Romans talks about it. The flesh wars against the spirit, right? Okay. The lamb which is in the midst of thee shall feed you and shall lead you into living fountains of waters. The same waters as in Psalms, the still waters, living fountains of waters. And this understanding will wipe all tears from your eyes. Now, if you can let go of the answer to your problem, if you can let go of it, and just say, Father, teach me what it means to whatever is in front of me, it doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And he said this to me 2 weeks ago with this thing that all had all these zeros attached to it. He said, Mike, are you going to trust me? And I said, I'm reading it, I'm writing about it, I've been riding my bike and listening to messages, and it's all coming together. Well, if that isn't going to work, then I don't believe a thing I've heard. And it just came in, and it just was gone. And it has not come back. Now, there'll be another one come. You know, hang on to your horses. But that is a pretty big one. So I'm learning, though, to let go of the answers to my problem. I'm learning to let go of it, aren't we? Huh? We've had a couple things. We're just learning to let go of it. And peace will follow. It won't be in front of it. We want it to be in front of it. We just want to have peace. That's why we go around and drink whiskey and take drugs. Because peace gets in front of that because we forget everything.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that ain't going to work for very long. We've all done that or something. You know, I can't say that I have. Sorry, I'm confessing again. Oh, well. So, I want to live in this place where I'm fed and led into the path of righteousness, don't you? Don't we want to be led there? Through what? Through being fed by this lamb that's in the midst of me. It's going to be your own voice that talks to you. Not this. It's going to be your own voice. Your own voice is going to say, chop the zeros off that thing, Mike. That's where the voice came from. It wasn't out there. Chop the zeros off that, Mike, and peace started coming. That's a good way to look at it. Just chop the zeros off. Right? Because when we started the business, we just sold this much stuff, and now it's like this, right? It's like this now. So anyways, let's just meditate for a little while and we'll be done for tonight, okay?